Amen. Praise the name of the Lord our God. And we will praise his name forevermore. Luke chapter 2, one more time, if you would. Luke chapter 2. Find your place at around verse 41 tonight. I mentioned this the other night, but most of you don't listen to stuff I say the first time anyway, so I'll say it again. I wouldn't repeat myself so much if y'all listened the first time. Isn't it funny how, we've had thousands of years to perfect this blame shifting thing, and I'm real good at it. No, we don't just want more information, we want transformation. And I know some of you maybe like, listen, Brother Isaac, you were already in Luke chapter 2 this morning. We don't need to be there again tonight. We had to move on to something else. But I would suspect that most of us really haven't absorbed all that we could from the message this morning. And I suppose we got a little more room to absorb some things from these same verses tonight. So rather than give you something else to ponder, we're going to try to ponder this portion of Scripture a little bit deeper tonight. Fair enough? All right, so we're going to pray, and then we're going to jump back into verse 41. We really concentrated on verse 40 this morning. If you missed that, you can find that online on our Facebook page or YouTube channel, and you can check that out. Or our website, you can listen to the audio there. But we see here this one snapshot, the only portion of Scripture that tells us about Jesus as he was growing up. We have him as an infant, as a very small babe, a small child, the young child when the wise men come to visit him, and then we don't see anything else about him except for this portion of Scripture until John the Baptist introduces him later on when he's around 30 years of age. So this is a crucial text to get a glimpse of who Jesus is, and I hope it'll be a blessing as we dig a little deeper into that tonight. So let's pray, and then we'll read. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, thank you for the day you've blessed us with, for the sunshine and just the opportunity to fellowship together, to worship together, to pray together, to sing together, and to strive to do your work together. I thank you for this church. I pray that you'll bless each one in it. Thank you for all who have gathered tonight. Please be with those who can't be here and give them grace. Lord, now I pray as we come to the Word of God that you would open up our hearts and minds. And give us understanding, that your Spirit would guide us into all truth and teach us your great truths. I pray tonight that you would speak to our hearts, convict us, and bring us to a place of closer relationship with you through the truths of your word. I pray your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. And Lord, we pray that if anyone hearing the message tonight's never been saved, that even tonight, as we look to Jesus as a 12-year-old boy, that we would see him and who he is and what he came to do, that even tonight those who are lost would hear and understand the gospel and come to a saving faith in Jesus, that they would repent and believe the gospel and call on your name and be saved. The saved would be baptized and publicly identify with Christ, and all of us would walk together with you day by day as real disciples, making disciples for your glory. Please help me. I would have nothing without you, and I pray you'll bless your word in spite of me tonight, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Stop right there for just a second and notice that his parents, we understand that Joseph was his earthly or adoptive father, not actually his father. He was supposed to be his father. But his true father was God the Father, the Holy Spirit, bringing about the conception of Christ, and then Mary, his mother, his actual mother. And so his parents, Joseph and Mary, went up to Jerusalem, and they did so faithfully at the Feast of Passover. There were three feasts that the Jews were required to go to. That was the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Feast of Passover. And the men were required to go to all of them, but everyone was expected to go to Passover. So this would be why his parents both, Mary and Joseph, would go up to Jerusalem for Passover. So they went up and they kept the custom of the law. What does that mean? It meant that God prescribed to them their mode of worship, and they were faithful to keep that mode of worship. So as we walk through this tonight, we're going to try to see, do you suppose that the way Joseph and Mary lived their lives would be a good example for us to follow? I would suppose that this couple who God chose to bring Jesus into the world and rear him up and bring him up in his growth in his life, they would be good examples for us to follow. And so the fact that they went up to Jerusalem when it was time to go would be a good example for us. The fact that they kept the custom and they worshiped God in the way that God prescribed is a good pattern for us to follow. Look at verse 43. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew it not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. They sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now, as a good example to follow, I don't mean that you should lose your kids. But just as a quick side note, how many of you have ever lost one of your kids, at least temporarily, on accident? Not on purpose. Only a couple of you? When I was a little boy, I got lost in the department store one time. There's a magical place in a department store called a circle hanging rack. You guys know about those? Man, when I was a kid, it was my favorite thing in the world to hide inside of those things. And they're made for kids to hide in. You guys all know what I'm talking about? The round clothes racks? Man. Well, one time I was hiding in one of those, and unbeknownst to me, Mom had gone on to another place. And so when I came out of my hiding place, Mom was nowhere to be found, and I was terrorized. I was so afraid. I'm sure she was gone for at least, you know, hours. Really, it was probably just minutes. But in my young mind, she was gone forever. And I remember being so scared, crying, walking through the store trying to find my mom. I found her, by the way. It was all okay. Some of you read this and you're like, how in the world could you lose Jesus? Right? I mean, I just pointed out the fact that God chose Mary and Joseph out of all the people that would ever be born, that they would be brought into the world at the exact time for Mary to be the mother of the Savior of the world, Joseph being entrusted to be her husband. And I mean, these people were very special people, very devout people, very godly people. They had been entrusted to raise up God's only begotten Son, and they lost him. And so you're like, how in the world could you lose Jesus? But really, if you understand what was going on, those customs, and at that time, there would have been a massive amount of people in Jerusalem. And people didn't travel with just Mary and Joseph and Jesus, not only remembering that they would have other children after Jesus, right? We read about their names before. But they would have their family, but then their extended family, and then many, many people traveling from all over the place in one general direction. So when the feast of Passover was over, by the way, they fulfilled the days. They were required to be there for 3 days, but the full time went on for 7 days, and they went above and beyond. They went the extra mile. They stayed the entire time. And so when it was time to go, this massive amount of people would leave, and as they traveled, this band would kind of, people would go off into their little places. So the herd would thin out as they went. You guys understand that language? Okay. All right, so the other thing is, how old is Jesus at this time? 12 years old. Now, at 12 years old, Jesus is the oldest of the young ones, and he's the youngest of the old ones. And he is right at that transitional time when every other time he went up with his mom and dad, he would have traveled with the women and the children. The older boys would have traveled with the men. And so can you just imagine with me for a second when they left, that when Joseph is walking out and he's there with his brethren and he's there with the older boys, that he notices Jesus isn't there, but he probably thinks, Jesus is with his mom and the younger kids. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Mary notices that Jesus isn't with her and the younger children, but she thinks to herself, he thinks he's one of the big boys now. He's back there with his dad. Seem reasonable to you? Because I think that's probably highly accurate. I think they both figured he was with somebody else. When they traveled so far and they stopped for the night, they're like, well, we need to get Jesus so we can go rest for the night. And they look for him among the kinsfolk and they can't find him. How many parents do you think over the centuries have had that conversation? Where is he? I thought he was with you. What are you talking about? I thought you were watching him. Mm-hmm. So they might have had a situation like that. So when they fulfilled the days, as they returned, Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. Historians tell us that the Jews that were a little more pious, the morning it was time to leave to go back home, they would go back to the temple one last time. Even though the feast was over, they would go back to the temple one last time for prayer and worship before they would start their journey. So when Mary and Joseph go on back home, Jesus stays behind in the temple. So they went up. They kept the custom. They fulfilled the days. But Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. They couldn't find him. So they turned back to Jerusalem seeking him. Now look at verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So a couple of things. When they traveled out of the city about a day's journey. When they realized Jesus wasn't with them, they had to travel back to Jerusalem about a day's journey. Now there's two different ways you can understand this. That you add those 2 days, and then you add 3 more days that they were looking for him in the city. It's probably more likely that they mean from the time they realized he wasn't with them, it took them 3 days to find Jesus. So a day out, a day back, and then another day searching Jerusalem for the Lord Jesus. And so for at least 3 days, the 12-year-old Jesus was on his own in Jerusalem, all of his kinsfolk and family having gone, and he was there by himself. Buddy, with me? It's not the point of the message tonight, but can I just say this? Jesus, as a 12-year-old young man, was capable of taking care of himself. I live in the United States of America in 2023. There are a lot of 22-year-olds that I wouldn't leave on their own. I'm trying to look at a couple of you. How old is... Ben's only 24. Oh, it's 2024. Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it? Golly, I'm already a week late. You know how many checks I've written this year? I've already had to scratch out 23. It'll take me a few months to get used to it. Okay, it's 2024, and there are a lot of young men who are in their 20s who couldn't survive 3 days on their own. Jesus was a mature young man. When they found Jesus, he wasn't playing in the streets. He wasn't playing anywhere. But he was sitting with the doctors of the law. He was both asking and hearing from them. So the method of study in the rabbinical days and at the temple was this. You would go to the doctors of the law. You would ask them questions. He was asking them questions. Then they would answer his questions. He would hear their responses. And then they would turn around and ask him to explain what they just told him. So there was a asking, a hearing, and then a telling. Everybody with me? Answering them back. So there was an asking, there was a hearing, and then there was an answering back. And Jesus would have gone with his questions. Why? We already studied that this morning. Jesus was growing in wisdom, right? He was increasing in wisdom. He didn't come in late in the manger with all knowledge. He had set aside the prerogatives of his deity, never stopping being God, but choosing to lay that aside to grow and to learn like all of us have to grow and learn. And so, and of course he did that not like us in every way, because he was not born with a sin nature. And not like us in every way. He wasn't born as a child of wrath like we are. He was born with a perfect nature. Nonetheless, he had to learn. He had to grow. So there he was. We read it there in verse 46. They found in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, a 12-year-old boy sitting in the middle of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So there was a hearing, there was an asking, there was a responding to them, and they were astonished at the knowledge of this 12-year-old boy. They were astonished, they were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So Jesus is amazing the people that hear him there. Jesus had to grow bit by bit. He had to increase. Scholars used to call it ad modum recipientis. It means in proportion to his capacity. In proportion to his capacity, he learned. In proportion to his capacity, he grew. So he had a limited capacity as a 2-year-old, and he learned to that capacity. He had a limited capacity as he continued to grow, and he was learning to that capacity. And as a 12-year-old, he's still learning to that capacity. And what an amazing picture Christ gives us of how we need to grow up. He had prioritized being in his Father's house. He'd prioritized being there, learning and growing in the law. Verse 48 says, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And when they saw him, they were amazed. Just stop there for a second. Some of you moms can probably feel this a little better than some of the dads can. You've traveled a day on foot away from Jerusalem. You realize that your 12-year-old son is missing. You've had to travel a day back to Jerusalem, wondering where he is all the time. And it's taken you about a day going around the city of Jerusalem trying to find your 12-year-old son. And when they finally go to the temple to see if he might be there, they go into the temple and they see Jesus sitting there with the scribes, with the lawyers, with the doctors of the law. And they were, the Bible says, amazed. I just wonder, how would you have felt? Your first reaction is going to be relief, right? You're so thankful that he's okay. Because I can imagine that you're not thinking good thoughts in the 3 days you're looking for him, or the 2 days you're looking for him, right? You're imagining every possible worst case scenario that there is, right? That that's the parent's way. Sometimes we think the worst. It's got to be the worst. You know, your kid's 10 minutes late, you're just sure that they've probably been in a terrible car accident. And we tend to do that. And I don't know why we would expect Joseph and Mary to be any different. I would imagine that they thought the worst. And then after, for us, I guess kind of suppose that Mary and Joseph are better than us. Maybe they're not. But after your initial relief that he's okay, what's the next thing you feel? I'm going to strangle you to death. You're not dead, but now you're going to die. Right? I don't know that they felt that way, but they certainly were upset. They were first amazed. How is he? He's a 12-year-old. He's not supposed to be here. He was supposed to be with us. I can't believe he's sitting here with the doctors. I can't believe he's been here for 3 days. What have you been doing? Where did you sleep? What did you eat? Right? I reckon he probably didn't have any ramen noodles. No box of mac and cheese. Kraft hadn't been invented yet. I mean, what did he do? And then it says this. His mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." Son, why did you do this to us? Why would you stay here when you knew we were leaving? Why would you do this to me? We have been looking everywhere for you. We have been frantic.
We were terrified. Something terrible had happened to you. This is the conversation Mary is having with her son. And don't you think that's all reasonable? Do you realize what you've done? Do you realize how sorrowful we've been? So Jesus tarried, but his parents sought him. And I want you to get this. Like we saw with the wise men, you have to seek him till you find him. The wise men kept searching diligently until they found the young child. Mary and Joseph kept searching until they found Jesus. And listen, he was there at the temple. Do you suppose that where they would have ever stopped looking? No, they would have gone and gone and gone and gone until they found him. And you and I need to be diligent in our seeking to know Jesus. Yeah, I know. I get it. For those of you that are saved, you're saved. You're like, I've already found him. I've already got him. He's with me forever. Yes, but to seek him, to know him, to seek him, to be with him, seek him till you find him. Look at this, verse 49. The first words we have recorded of our Lord. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Now, I want to take a second here, and I want us to be really, really careful, because you and I have a tendency to read in our own worldview, to read in our own attitudes, to read in our own ideas and our own thoughts and our own nature into everything we read. And some people would say, well, Jesus was a little disrespectful here. Well, being disrespectful to Mary would have been what? Would have been sin. So you can't read disrespect into it. Your 12-year-old son might say something similar to you, and he might be disrespectful. But Jesus wasn't. Everybody with me? I mean, it always makes me think of that at the cross when Jesus would refer to Mary as woman. Like, we talk like that today. That's not respectful. Like, I promise you, when I call my mom this week, I won't be like, hey, woman. I'm not going to do that. Right? So if we do that, though, when we read it in the Bible, we're like, man, you don't talk to your mama like that. So we got to be careful that we don't read into our modern vernacular into the text, okay? So when Jesus says, how is it that you were looking for me? He wasn't being disrespectful. When he says, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? He's not being disrespectful. He is not dishonoring Mary. He couldn't, okay? So this had to be with respect. It had to be with honor as his earthly mother. So what is the question? If it's not disrespectful, what is it? Jesus had a purpose, and he was learning of his purpose. This is one of the great mysteries that we're not going to know in this life. There are a couple of passages of Scripture that I'm so excited to gain greater understanding about in glory one day. One is when the two disciples are walking with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, and he is opening their mind to the Scriptures. He's telling them all the things in the Scriptures concerning himself. Do you guys ever think about that? Like, man, to know what Jesus told them. Because we've been studying that before the holidays on Wednesday nights. Like, we're just guessing. Maybe Jesus talked about this. Maybe he talked about that. We don't know, but how exciting will it be to get to know? I'm going to ask him if I get a chance. Like, what did you tell those guys on the road to Emmaus? Like, what parts of Scripture did you show them? This is another one. Because here Jesus is... He's asking, and he's hearing, and he's answering, and he's telling, and Jesus is having a conversation about the Scriptures with the doctors of the law at the temple. I want to know what he was talking to him about. Because listen, friends, he knows that he has to be about his Father's business, and I just wonder if he's learning more and more and more of the Scriptures that deal with that. And he's giving them answers with great understanding about who Messiah is and what Messiah is coming to do. You think he might know something about that? You know, they're amazed at his understanding because he understands it better than anybody. Man, just imagine some of the passages that he might have been answering about. So there he is amazing them. There he is answering them. He's asking, he's hearing, he's being asked and giving answers. And he says, how is it that you looked for me? I'm in my Father's house because I have to be about my Father's business. I'm in my Father's house because I have to be about my Father's business. Know you not that I must be about my Father's business? This idea we will see Jesus echo many times in his ministry. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I do always those things that please my Father. Jesus came with purpose to fulfill the scriptures and all the things that Messiah had to do, and he, as a 12-year-old boy, was ready to get to business. Hey, we could use some young men and young women who are ready to get to the Father's business with their lives. Ready to do what God's called us to do. Ready to fulfill the purposes God has for our lives. Verse 50. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. I suppose that Mary and Joseph had some idea about what Messiah was supposed to come and do. I believe that Messiah, in the Jewish mind at that time, was really primarily seen as the king. And that's what the angel had told them, right? He's going to sit on the throne of his father David. He's going to rule and reign over Israel forever. And so they were thinking about Jesus as king. But they weren't thinking about Jesus as prophet. They weren't thinking about Jesus as priest. They certainly weren't thinking about Jesus as sacrifice. So they didn't understand when he said, I've got to be about my Father's business. They didn't understand all that that meant. And I would say that even though we've got the end of the book in our hands, we still don't understand all that that meant. They didn't understand. But look at verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Jesus was obedient and submissive to his father and his mother on this earth. If Jesus was submissive to his parents on this earth, how much more should you be? Hey, adults, if Jesus honored his mother and father on this earth, how much more should we honor our parents who are yet alive? Amen? He was subject unto them, but here's Mary again. Mary, his mother, kept all these sayings in her heart. Jesus was subject, but Mary pondered and kept these things in her heart. Mary saw her heart. The Bible describes Mary's heart as just a treasure box. And every time God would give her truth and God would give her revelation and Jesus would say something profound, she would take it and store it up in her heart. Isn't that beautiful? She kept it. Too many times, friends, God shows us truths from his word. He's showing us things that we need to live by. He's showing us and revealing things about himself to us. We don't store them up. We don't ponder them. We don't treasure them in our heart. We just let it slip on by and go on to the next thing. What we need to do is keep these things. We need to ponder these things. And we need to store them up in the treasure houses of our heart so that we can keep them there and walk in those things so that it will impact the way we live our lives. Jesus, then lastly, verse 52, increased. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. We read this morning in verse 40, the child grew, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. We end this portion of scripture with verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And he continued to grow in every way that a human can grow. Physically, spiritually, mentally, he continued to increase, he continued to grow, and he did it in and by the grace or favor of God. And all of those things are available to you and I. I love the fact that he increased. John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way for Jesus. You remember what he said? He must increase, I must decrease. Now, we all want to grow in God's grace and knowledge, right? And the way we grow is by getting smaller. The way we move up higher in our relationship with God is by going down lower. The more we humble ourselves, the more he lifts us up. And so tonight, we want to humble ourselves before God. Tonight, we want to look at these examples that we're given. We want to be faithful. We want to worship God the way he prescribes. We want to tarry in the house of God. And you say, I don't understand what that means. We don't really have a temple, but we are the temple. What we need to do is not go to a place, but be with him. For us to tarry with God today isn't so much about being in a particular place as it is being with a particular person. It's about being with him. Why? Because you are the temple of the living God who is in you. Because you're not your own, because you've been bought with a price. And so we can have that intimate fellowship and relationship with God by spending time with God, tarrying with him in worship and in the word. We need to seek Jesus diligently till we find him. We need to look to the scriptures and see his astonishing word, amazing word. Be amazed, be in awe of the wonder and truth and grace that is in Christ alone. We need to be subject to those that God has put in authority over us. We need to ponder. We need to keep these things in our hearts. And we, like our Savior, need to grow up. We need to increase in wisdom. We need to grow in grace. Let's stand together.